Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Today is International Women's Day, and there is much to celebrate, but there is also a lot of hand-wringing about setbacks for women when it comes to politics, social issues, pay equity, and more. Well, tonight, I'm sharing the microphone with two prominent women thought leaders as we discuss the victories and challenges on this International Women's Day. My guests are human rights activist and niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Alveda King, and Dr. Melanie Campbell, president and CEO of the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation and convener of the Black Women's Roundtable. If you have some thoughts about International Women's Day, I invite you to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. King, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
I am so glad to join. Hi, Harold.
How are you? Good.
Yeah, glad to be one of your guests.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Campbell, Melanie, good to see you.
Oh, it has been too long.
It's been too long. It's been a minute.
I walked in and said, yes.
Yes.
And Dr. we were together not too long ago down in Atlanta. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about this International Women's Day, Dr. King. How would you define this day?
Well, as you ask that question, I think about Sojourner Truth. Mm. And I use that line all the time. Ain't I a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much power being a woman, especially an African-American woman, and in my case, an aged African-American woman at 72 years of age and still going strong in America. So internationally, and if we go all the way back to the days of the women's suffragettes, that wasn't just for the white women. The black women were involved as well. And that's when that question came up, ain't I a woman? So it's very important in this day and time, especially as we're looking at the issues of equality and equity and all of that. And let me just make it a little brief. But equality is a state of being created and born equal. And that's not often acknowledged for women and African Americans or anybody. And then we cannot have equity until we recognize that we are actually created equal in the image and likeness of God, one blood and one race.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, equity says we should be treated fairly. I want to get the whole ball of wax. I want to be treated with equality. And then I do want to be treated fairly as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Melanie, the theme for International Women's Day is embracing equity. Who needs to embrace equity? Is it do the women need to embrace equity, or do the powers that be who are not women, do they need to embrace the equity?
Thank you for that question.
Sure.
Right? I would say both, right? I think part of, when I step back, when I think about, you know, that question you also asked about this being International Women's Day, and I think about the women from the diaspora, black women of color, and how when you think about issues of equity and equality, that globally we have a challenge. You can go to the motherland and you can find women, though, that are heads of state, that are black, that are African women, but many times you also can find a polar opposite situation depending on where you are in the continent of Africa. So when I think about that, and a lot of things that we attempt to do is build those bridges, the opportunity to build those bridges with women from other cultures, and so women from South America, women from diaspora, women from the black women from the Caribbean, and how I've been in conversations with a lot of women from Colombia. We have a delegation that just got back from Colombia, and then we had a delegation of those sisters who came to the U.S. last year, and just hearing some of the challenges that in some cases it's like they're ahead of us, in some cases they're way behind where we've gone in this country. So that's one. And then when it comes to, you know, what's happening when it comes to equity, this country, this United States of America, is in a moment where they're not people, there are too many people who are not interested in equity, let alone equality. We are in a regressive state in many cases. I grew up in Florida, and what's happening in my home state as an example of regression, and the attempt to figure out how we fight back, just to even be able to be seen as a people, let alone what's happening with being a black woman, being an African American, and being a woman in this country. And so, so I say the glasses, I don't know that I even say it's half full. Depends on what we're looking at. And we can look at so many, I try to look at the solution side of things. We know all there are disparities, but then how do we continue to move the ball and own the power that we have, and the collective power?
Well, I think that's the a bit of a quandary when it comes to discussions about women's political power, social power, economic power. For example, Virginia just elected its first black congresswoman. But Virginia just elected its first black congresswoman.
Okay,
right. In 2023.
It's great. And then look where we are.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, you know, you have that. We've got a black woman vice president. We have a woman of color who is a lieutenant governor of Maryland. We've got the second woman mayor of the District of Columbia. I mean, we're just talking about.
Harold, don't we have a black lieutenant governor in Virginia?
Yes, that's right. We do. Mm-hmm. We most certainly do.
I'm just saying. Yeah. We've got all of that.
So with that said, Dr. King, there are still issues regarding whether they be political, social, or economic attacks. Some would see it that way. No matter how you look at, you know, the Roe v. Wade decision, that certainly is something that affected women.
Women in the womb too. Half of those aborted babies are women.
Women still make less money.
We make less money, but I asked where was the lawyer for those little girls. But listen, I have stood at the UN in speaking into women's groups, and I've traveled to Africa, Israel, Europe, you know, around a little bit, a lot of places. And I've been elected to office and appointed by a couple of presidents, all that kind of thing. But this battle has to be waged in every generation, every decade, and every day on our platform. So every question that you and Doc are asking, all of those are very valid. I don't want us to break apart equality and equity, though, because you can treat me fairly and still not treat me equal, too, depending on the definitions of it. So I want the equality, and then I do want to be treated fairly. And as women, we have to stand up. And one thing I'm loving, regardless to our political persuasions and all of that at this particular time, is that we're having very same conversations like the one that we are having. And I believe that's very important. But this battle has to be waged because we go from victory to victory.
Yeah.
So first, treat me equally. My uncle said, Martin Luther King Jr., we need to learn to live together as brothers. And I have to remind the gentlemen and sisters and not perish together as fools.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good time to discuss this, but treat me equally and fairly.
Not to mention, I was just been reminded about our, you know, brand new Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
And because I can, if I were to sit down and make a list, at first blush, you would think, well, you know, women are doing okay. Black women are doing okay. Mm-hmm. But again, as I said, the reality is, you know, beyond, you know, the Dr. Alveda Kings and the Dr., you know, Melanie Campbells and the those elected to high office, you know, there are a whole lot of women who are still struggling, mm-hmm. Dr. Campbell, with equality, with equity, station in life.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say thank you for the doctor. I'm going to hold it. Mm-hmm. He said, give me equality with my sister, Dr. King.
Hey, young lady, I'm right there. We're together. We are sisters.
But,
thank you.
But, you know, I think about my nieces. Right. You know, I didn't birth any children, but I got a whole lot of nieces and nephews. And I think about Journey at 10 years old and her not having the rights that her auntie had, or my niece at 26 who's struggling trying to find her way because the income gap and the wealth gap. Mm-hmm. Right. And how they are being affected. So in my season years, my hope is that what we're doing and the kind of another word I want to put into Ellis, and that's justice, right? Mm-hmm. And is it, and so when you talk about that, when you brought up Sister Ketanji Brown Jackson, how we had to fight, there was no equity, there was no equality in how she was treated in her process
awful.
A woman, as a black woman, because women have a harder time. Black women, women of color, even in something like getting a confirmation, have a much harder time than any male, whatever race they come from. So those are some of those things that make it where we have first, because those are hurdles that were there. I think about Loretta Lynch and how I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and how we had it all show up, along with our other sisters from
the
from
Attorney other, General, yes.
Who was mm-hmm. a former Attorney General during mm-hmm. the Obama administration, and we could go down the list, and how we had to fight for Christian Clark, and we know we have to fight, we have to resist and fight and keep fighting each generation, as Sister King said, we have to always fight to move the ball forward. And the people whose shoulders we stand on. And so thinking about those whose shoulders, who stand on my generation's shoulders, how we have to help them carry that ball forward. And it's a tough time because there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of regression going on as we make progress. And then you look and economically, it's a challenge.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about International Women's Day. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Also, we have breaking news coming from Capitol Hill in reference to the DC crime code. Just as we expected it was going to happen, there was a vote in the Senate, and the Senate has made a decision. All of that coming your way after the break. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Before we continue our conversation, we do have breaking news coming in from Capitol Hill. As expected, the Senate has passed that Republican-led resolution to block the Washington, D.C. crime bill, the criminal code that was revised by the D.C. Council months ago. Opponents have, of course, criticized that revised criminal code as being weak on crime. That measure now goes to President Biden. He says he will not veto it. So again, the Senate has passed that Republican-led resolution on the D.C. Criminal code. So it looks like it's going to be back to the drawing board for the D.C. Council. We are today talking about victories and challenges for women on this International Women's Day. My guests are human rights activist and niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Avita King, and Dr. Melanie Campbell, president and CEO of the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation and convener of the Black Women's Roundtable. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Campbell, you've got some things coming up that you wanted to share with our listeners. Talk to me a little bit about what's going on. It's kind of a a two-part.
Yeah.
Please, sure. Go right ahead.
Very, very quickly, every year during Women's History Month, we host our Black Women's Roundtable Women of Power National Summit. So now it's grown to over like a four, almost a four-day engagement. And this is when we release our annual report. And we have Dr. Elsie Scott and Dr. Ava Jones-Weaver, who are co-editors and assistants.
Two of my favorite
people. Who are co-editors this year, as well as Jocelyn Tate, who's our assistant editor. So those three sisters help pull together that State of Black Women report that we put. So that'll be coming out during the summit. We also go on Capitol Hill, and we're engaging the administration and meeting with different folks within the departments to really also, follow the resources that we have. A lot of money is out there in our communities that can deal with issues of racial, gender equity, and women equality as much, but definitely when it comes to economic opportunity to build wealth or recoup wealth through so many appropriations that were taken care of last year. So we're really focusing in on that and finding and meeting with the administration and others to find out how our community can access those resources, whether you're talking about the CHIPS bill or you're talking about the jobs bills or you're talking about the infrastructure bill and all these things that pass and these historic resources that are going into our states and how to follow those resources, dealing with digital equity and bridging that divide, all these from urban and rural communities. And so that's what we'll be focusing on. But we also are trying to be part of the solution. We started it 4 years ago to do this effort to try to bring some resources to women who are seeking to own business or just started their business, because capital is one of the things. They say Black women are the number one growth on entrepreneurship, but we don't have the resources. So we do a pitch competition every year called Take It to the Top. And so, and also encouraging young girls. So we actually have what we call a girlpreneur a challenge. And we give resources. They have to do a business plan and participate in some kind of technical support things. And then we do a pitch competition. So this year, we changed it up a little bit. It's national, but we're going region to region. So we're doing the pitch competition where we'll give up to $25,000 for a woman who is either has a great idea or can be in business for 1 year or less. And so people can sign up. It's not a hard thing. They're going to have to pitch their thing. Mm-hmm. But it's the cutoff date is
Is it a Shark Tank kind of pitch?
A little bit. Yeah. But it's not that harsh.
Uh-huh.
We give away. We'll have at least we'll have semifinal winners. So we have a winner from D.C., three winners from D.C., three winners from Maryland, and three winners from Virginia. So everybody gets an opportunity. And then those three, so nine will end up having the opportunity to win $5,000 for a girlpreneur, $10,000 for a collegiate winner, and $25,000 for what we call community entrepreneur.
So where can they find that information?
They can go to blackwomensroundtable.org. But we're also doing some wellness as well.
Mm-hmm.
Blackwomensroundtable.org.
Well, I'll make sure, as always, that we post that information on our website on WHUR.com. It'll be on there after 8:30, as always. Dr. King, you wanted to make a comment?
I was so excited to hear that report and with all those wonderful things that are happening. And it's so very important for us to begin to share this kind of information around the country and around the world, especially today. And so I'm excited about that. I'm on the board of Auntie Angie's House. My goddaughter, Angela Stanton King, has established a new maternity home in Atlanta. And those little girls, when they're born and their mothers, we're going to get mentoring for the dads at another location. And just supporting all of these kinds of efforts. And I'm thinking about Judge Janice Rogers Brown. I don't know if anybody remembers her and that work as a woman serving as a circuit judge in the United States, and Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. And so when little girls are born and grow up, they need to be confident. And we do need equality and then equity to be treated fairly. And women, when we are born, need to be taught that we are just as valuable to every community and every society, regardless of our ethnicity, because there's one blood and one race. We don't even have separate races. And so, like I said, ain't I a woman? So when they grow up, their dreams should not be squashed. At 72, I don't need to think I've got to throw in the towel because I'm an old black woman, you see. So we need to be able to run that full course with joy, with equality, with fairness. And I'm supporting programs across this country right now, mentoring young girls. And so I was excited on this particular day to say to every girl, especially black girls right now, that's what we're talking about for a moment here, pursue your dreams. And in every decade, every generation, every decade, and every day on every platform, we've got to be affirming women, especially black women.
Unfortunately, as we know, at least one black woman's dreams were cut short 3 years ago. That's Breonna Taylor.
Oh, my God.
In Louisville, Kentucky. I'm sure you've both heard, you know, snippets, if not the entire press conference today by Attorney General Merrick Garland, where he essentially said that the Louisville Police Department has discriminated against black people for years. But this issue did not come up until the killing of Breonna Taylor, and it took a long time to pay attention to what was happening in the full context of the Louisville Metropolitan Police Department. So you know, Dr. King, I'll start with you. You know, when you look at, is this a I told you so? I mean, I was shocked by what I heard, but I was not surprised by this report today. And you know, when you talk about Breonna Taylor's life not being in vain, I think this is a one-to-one correlation. Her life was taken from her, but now she is the symbol of reform, let us hope, for reform with the Louisville Police Department.
Well, you know, I lived in Louisville. My dad is A.D. King's office before he was killed in 69 was bombed in Louisville. And when I heard this, I took it kind of personal, and it just bothered my heart and my soul. And I thought that it was terrible. However, the city and its police department have violated the constitutional rights of the citizens, especially black people. Mm-hmm. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So when Breonna was killed, I was devastated. And I think, I don't want to say too little too late, I'm glad it's continuing. But we've got to stop. And I think there again, every generation, every decade, every day. And so I'm glad to know that we have not forgotten.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Dr. Campbell, when I was listening to that press conference, and it was like Back to the Future, where the name calling, the harassment, the pretextual stops of black citizens in Louisville, by the police, and again with all of this, I think is, this report, you could call it the Breonna Taylor report.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you would be too far off. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about not only, this report today, and also as it relates to, just kind of where we are. Because, unfortunately, black women do not get the attention that they should when they are victims, of crime, no matter who the perpetrators of those crimes happen to be.
Well, I'll tell you, when I heard about it earlier today, and you actually spoke to someone from the Department of Justice, about it, I said, it reminds me that since the wheels of justice can move slow,
very, very,
very, very,
slow.
Mm-hmm. But you have to stay determined. And so in our lifetime, we have to keep pushing. So I read, and I was looking at, just sitting here looking at all the things that that were pointed out. Mm-hmm. Uses of excessive force, unjustified neck constraints, conduct searches based on invalid warrants, unlawfully execute search warrants, unlawfully stops folks, detains them, unlawfully discriminates against black people in its enforcement activities, violates the rights of people engaged in protection of free speech, critical of policing. And this one is really important as we're dealing with mental health in our nation, that the Louisville Metro discriminates against people with behavioral health disabilities when we respond to them in crisis, right? And so when you said that Back to the Future and this other things that were in there and what Breonna went through and what George Floyd went through and all of the folks that we know who have lost their lives at the hands of unlawful police, and the fact that in most cases nothing like this happens, right? And of course it's voluntary what Louisville will do about it. Yeah. But elections matter. It reminds us why we keep fighting for our voting rights, and why we keep fighting and pushing and trying to impart on our young people to own that power that you have, and don't let it taken away. Not just because someone bled and died, because that does matter, but it does matter for your life and your children. And so it's a never-ending cycle, but this generation, you know, has shown us that they have the ability to fight. I think about Tamika Mallory and Unfield Freedom, one of the young women that that I know that were out there in our civil rights organizations that continue to fight that fight. But we cannot go to sleep at the wheel. There's so many other places. My little hometown where I'm from, Mims, Florida, Harry and Harriet T. Moore country is where I tell people, you heard of Mims? That's where Harry and Harriet T. Moore's homes were bombed in the 50s and killed by the KKK. So I come out of that culture of understanding that racism is still real in America. Yes, it is. Discrimination is still real. White supremacy is still real. But we still have to fight, and we have to do it together. In a way that we can move the ball, while we always see resistance coming backwards, we just have to push it and do our dash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we solve it all. And you talked about it, Dr. King. Each generation has a responsibility, and I just try to do what I can and try to get us to work together, because we are stronger together. We really are.
And you know, I was just thinking. You know, I was thinking that no, it is not all doom and gloom, and it's not all and. You know, like they say, life ain't no crystal stair either. Mm-hmm. However,
right.
If we, I think it was you, Dr. King, when you mentioned, you know, George Floyd, you have to remember that it was a young black woman who was behind that smartphone taking the video.
Yeah.
If it were not for that video, the death of George Floyd would have been a footnote in the in the annals of criminal injustice.
And if I can fairly say, because we had the more recent incident when the reported perpetrator, who was so brutally beat and got to the hospital and then died, all of that happened.
We're talking about the Tyree Nichols case.
I was about to mention that,
but please go ahead.
What you just said, it's not always about skin color. Police brutality is not even always about skin color. Racism exists because we will not admit what science says and the Bible says. Of one blood, God created all people. There's only one race, the human race. And my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., talked about man's inhumanity to man. And real quick, and everybody will understand that, especially on this International Women's Day, the King James Bible always says men should do this and men should do that. And my daddy was a preacher. I say, well, if men are the only ones that have to do it, I don't have to do it because I'm not a man, daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so that should be men and women, people, human beings, one blood, Acts 17:26, and one race. So this inhumanity, we do have to come together. We have to have these. This is a very sane and enlightening and promising and hopeful conversation. Because as we do this in every generation, decade, and on every platform, every day, we must not be without hope because we are making a difference.
Well, and the thing I was going to say about the Tyre Nichols case was not about the alleged perpetrators of the crime, but I was going to talk about the police chief, a black woman, who unlike the other police chiefs, and this is not an indictment of police chiefs, let me be really clear, but as we know that whenever these kinds of things have happened historically, there is a really, really long time before officers are fired when charges. This was immediate.
Yes.
And this was, I think, this goes to the very issue about character and leadership of Chief Davis and realizing that, there was only so much that she could do. She was going to let the judicial system handle the charges and the crime. But her decision, once she gathered, the facts, 48 hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was not in her.
It was excellent.
Yeah,
I'm not promoting any TV shows, but two of my favorite shows come on Sunday night. They feature black women in law enforcement. So I agree. Especially, I'm just mentioning that today.
Yeah.
So women are very important in this structure, this system.
And black woman, mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Memphis.
Yeah.
So so my question to you now is, we know what was and what is, but what does all of this portend for the future when it comes to, where women and particularly black women are? Because while there may be a growth in political power, there may be a growth in high profile black women in media, in entertainment, thought leaders and activists, but that's not everybody. The regular mothers and the regular sisters and the regular wives and the regular women who are just slugging away, trying to go to college, trying to get a job, trying to raise the children, trying to take care of husbands, trying to take care of partners. What, Dr. Campbell, do you believe is ahead for them? Because you know what kind of political climate we're dealing with right now.
Well, one of the things about what we're doing next week is we're taking some time. Our theme is saying it's time to reset. It's time to rejuvenate. It's time to reimagine our power so we can resist and act. And we resist and act all the time, going, fighting. And we also have to give ourselves some grace and give women some grace to say, you also, black women are superwomen. No, we're not. We are just as frail as the next human being, as the doctor, Sister King said. So we also have to build into being good to ourselves and taking care of ourselves and reflecting on it. And that's been in the last few, and I can speak for myself. I'm not just talking about, I got it going
in the abstract,
in the real sense of so much is happening. And we're living in, I think we're in a spiritual warfare time. I'm not a preacher. But I do have a believe that there's something going on in this country, and indeed the world. But I'd spend my domestic most of that. We've got to step back. We think about our predecessors and our ancestors, what they had to do. They held on to something higher and more than what we see in front of us. And so it's not about religion, it's about how do we tap into that higher power and that collective power. And we have to start from within. And so some of what we're doing this week is just reflecting, because we're winning. When my good girlfriend Latasha would say, we're winning, y'all, right? But we're also I haven't gone to too many funerals of powerful black women and men who gone on because of, look, I could call a row in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, Jamada Orange, Cleo Orange, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and many, many others.
Yeah.
And how we're seeing that. And I just buried, I got to mention my chairman, Tommy Deutsch, who was at Bunny King's mm-hmm. funeral. And I live here. I just, the funerals I went to, mm-hmm. Latasha Luce and her 29-year-old son, so many things and people. So we have to also, because we have so much coming at us as a community, whether you are a name that you know on a marquee or you're the sister who's just trying to make it like you talk about, how do we deal with that part of this journey that we're all on? And we all have to do and take care of ourselves, but also look out for that brother and sister, that community that I feel that we've lost some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And how I grew up. And it won't be what it was, but we've got to find that sense of community again. When I go to my little hometown now, so hard for folks there and feel like nobody's paying attention. So when you hear people talk about rural community and it's the white, no. Small-town black folks feel isolated and like nobody cares. And so I make sure I find my way back to where my community that poured into me, my hometown, and try to put those resources that I'm blessed to have access to back into our community so that sister that's walking feels like she has an opportunity as well.
So that, you know, that brings me to an excellent segue for Dr. King, because last week we did 4 days of talking about crime and public safety in our community. And on one of those days, Dr. King, we talked about what, you know, our responsibility is to our own community as it relates to making sure our communities are safe and you know, places where we can live and not survive but thrive. And we weren't necessarily we can talk about racism, but we didn't talk about racism last week. We can talk about what they are doing to us, but we didn't want to talk about what they are doing to us. We were talking about what we were doing to us and our responsibility. So in the context of black women, Dr. King, what do you believe is the black woman's responsibility to her community to make sure that it is a thriving place?
I want to segue. I'll take that segue, but Dr. Campbell is right. We need to inform, educate, and activate within our own lives, our own communities, our own homes, our churches, our jobs. We need to repent. We need to love, forgive, embrace. We can even cross some of these aisles and divisions that we have and tackle this situation together. If you will let me quote somebody that I've admired through the years, believe it or not, Chaka Khan, and I just want to read this quick little statement. She said, "Recently I was asked about a list of the greatest singers of all time, and instead of questioning the need for such a list, I was pitted against other artists, and I took the bait," Khan wrote in her post. "As artists, we are unfairly put into boxes, categories, or on list. Being an artist or musician is not a competition. It's a gift for which I'm truly grateful." Now that's Chaka Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she said that, that can apply to anybody, not just singers or entertainers, whatever we are. As women, we need to have these conversations, take a look, not be manipulated into throwing shade and being petty and that kind of a thing, but come together in these communities and shine a light. Teach our children some respect and some dignity. As my kids bring their dogs over, I even tell the dogs, "Be quiet, sit down." And my grandchildren. So we do have that obligation, opportunity, and responsibility, and I believe we can do it.
So you raised a point that I think is so important, and is really a pet peeve of mine. You know, why is it that it is so difficult for black women to resist the temptation of, you know, of pettiness and throwing shade?
Dr. Campbell, what you think?
Hmm. I think it's,
why do we throw shade? Why are we petty? You know, I like.
I'm not owning that.
Or petty.
I'm not going to own that.
But I'm not. I'm really not.
There are those.
Well,
and I don't like. But let's be honest. We know it's there. And we know it's happening, and that's why I asked the question.
I think I would say this. I will put it this way. In my lifetime, I won't speak about anybody else's. The challenge that I've seen when we feel invisible. And that we're not seen.
I'll buy that one.
For whatever historical reasons to go along with that.
That's brilliant.
And
that's
that we tend to overreact to that. And the closest person to you, right, is the person that gets that.
That's
And I know that's something that why we do the Black Women's Roundtable, why we do this Women of Power thing, is not just to have an event, but to have an experience. To say we can come together and all of us shine. I get blamed because I do a lot of things and they say, why you got 25 women? Why don't you just get 4? Because I want to have as many people around that table.
Everybody can get some.
That's what
you can't talk for 10, but you can talk for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do that every year. And that was kind of how I was kind of raised up in the movement, that you make way. So that we have to check each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, Dr. King. You got.
No, I just said me too. I'm gonna let her have the last word. I'm just agreeing.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to have to have that. I was going to give you that last 30 seconds.
No, let her. Have,
okay, go ahead, Dr. Campbell. You can have that.
We have to do it in love. We have to just give ourselves some grace and just. And cross the, not just women, but women and men, because they're pitting us against each other in real time through social media and other ways that and Black men tell me they feel invisible. So what? We got to figure this thing out so that we can be, our communities, you said it and I love it, not just survive, but we want to thrive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Melanie Campbell, I hear both of you. I see both of you. And I am so glad that both of you have been on this program. Melanie, it's good to see you.
You too.
It's so good to see
you.
Love
me, my brother.
You know?
And love me, my sister.
That's right, Dr. King. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank y'all.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, March 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.